Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So, McKinnon keeping an eye on Marisnik, so is Lugo. 2-2 to Sogard, not going, and that ball is ripped, and that's into right center where there's a lot of room. Marisnik to third base, and he'll put the... He's coming home! Here's the throw, wow, why did he go? He's out by a bunch of feet. Why did he go?
Why? This is, again, and we want to see it, but I am surprised with one out right over to second base, perfectly done. Watch this. He's not even going on the pitch. Good secondary. Throws it in quickly. And Guillorme throws a strike over to McCann at home plate. Unless you're 100% sure, he's sending him. Marisnik did exactly what his coaches wanted him to do. Everybody with the Cubs doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Jason Hayward down on his knees telling him slide away. Perfect throw, great execution by the Mets.
Embarrassed on Tuesday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
In front of a national television audience.
Willie Harris literally must have been falling asleep to make that decision. There was one out, not two. I know Jason Hayward was coming up. I know he sucks offensively this year. You can't do that. You can't. It wasn't even freaking close.
It was not.
And Marisnik can run, man. He cut the inside of the bag. Like that guy's form is like straight line. Like he in all over the place.
The military turnaround third, racing to the plate. There he was, and he gets thrown out, man. It just, I will watch that play. I'm like, oh my God.
That was just
a bad send.
Awful send.
Bad send.
Awful. Jesse Rogers brought to you by the Pride Stores, 15 Chicago area locations. Shop at the Pride Stores. Jesse, good morning. What did you think of that horrific decision to send Marisnik on the hit by Sogard?
Yeah, you know, David Ross defended it afterwards.
Of course he did.
He would err on the side of aggressiveness, right? He's going to defend his third base coach. It was a bad send, and I'll tell you why. Because the only way he was scoring was if the defense made a mistake. And I don't think you want to rely on that. Like, you want to say, okay, maybe he could beat the throw. Maybe there's this great slide because it's bang-bang. But it wasn't bang-bang. The only way there's a run scored there is if there's a mistake by the defense. By the way, the White Sox had a bad send, too, I felt. And the ball went through the catcher's leg.
Yes.
So in their case, they got the defensive miscue, scored the runs, kind of was the difference in the game. And in the Cubs' case, they didn't get the defensive miscue. But I'm with you. With one out, there's no reason to do it. Now, with two outs, you could absolutely make the case. You could. Like you said, Hayward's not having a good year. You need a hit at that point. With one out, it was a bad send. And like I said, David defended it. Now, we don't know what he really believed about it, but he said he wanted to err on the side of caution.
Ultimately, Jesse, when you see Alec Mills, do you see like a long reliever? Is that his ceiling? Because he was out there yesterday. It's not like we've never seen Alec Mills start before, but six strikeouts through four and a third, and, you know, keeping the game decently close.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad for Mills. I think that might be his lot in life, right?
Well, yeah, he hasn't been stretched out much. This is a spot start. You're right. This is his lot in life. He's not a starter on a, let's say, World Series team. Mm-hmm. He's a long reliever, sixth man when you need him kind of thing. And, you know, Azalea's down a little bit. They're starting a guy, you know, rookie against a young guy against DeGrom tonight. It's not the best scenario right now going on for the Cubs on the mound. They can't afford any injuries. Losing Azalea, even for a couple starts, is kind of a difference maker for him. But this is not – remember, he threw a no-hitter. It's not like Mills can't start. But on a championship team, I think he's a long reliever.
And Rizzo's the only one thinking out there yesterday, right? So runners at first and second, it's a pop-up. He's playing close in the infield, right? You see him almost shaking hands with the catcher. A pop-up to him. He lets the ball drop, throws to the second base. Alcantara's over at first with the stretch out and misses the ball. It was an automatic double play if Alcantara catches the ball. It's like the only ones thinking out there sometimes is Rizzo's like, I'm going to let this ball drop and get the double play to get out. No, didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a really intelligent play.
Yeah,
it was. He does that. He's done that a lot. You know, I've talked to a couple of the guys. It's Rizzo, Baez, and Hayward and even and Bryant, like your main guys, they are thinking like that all the time, all the time. Maybe because they play every day, they don't have to worry about, you know, whatever, other stuff. They're always thinking a step ahead. Hayward, Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant kind of have that kind of mindset. I've never seen a first baseman, Cap, you tell me, I've never seen a first baseman play that close on bunts. Not Derek Lee, not Mark Grace.
No, he plays fearlessly.
He really does. And, I mean, you kind of worry a little bit about a guy swinging away at him, you know?
I would. But, wouldn't you, Jess?
Yeah, but he's gotten away with it, and he's plays great. They mentioned on broadcast last night, you know, he might be in line for a Gold Glove. He made a couple errors, but Gold Gloves aren't just about errors. They're about your overall game, and plays like that last night, people take notice.
And then a great stretch by Rizzo as well in that same inning, right, Jesse, to get the out. A crazy stretch. He's falling down, stretching out, catching the ball as Rizzo on a bad throw by the third baseman.
Wisdom, I think. Bryant was out of the game by then. Well, he's great at that. You always wonder when he's coming off the field, especially when Baez makes him stretch like that, if he's like just shaking his head or saying, what the hell? You know, because he could hurt himself. He's got that back injury. But he's great there. He's a Gold Glove winner. He's a former Platinum Glove winner. So one of the reasons that, you know, you might think he could age well at that position, at least defensively, he shouldn't lose a lot playing defense at first base. That's the one thing about aging at first. You don't necessarily lose your skills there.
Jesse, what's the latest on Chris Bryant, who, you know, every year it seems he gets hit in the head, he gets hit in the hand twice this year, he gets hurt sliding into third in Atlanta a couple years ago. What's the latest?
Yeah, he's okay. Now, when I say okay, no broken bones, no broken fingers.
Is he in your room there in New York? Can you just hand the phone to him?
Remember, he wasn't as thrilled with me in the off season as the old days. So,
join the club.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's going to be okay, but I don't know. I mean, why not sit against DeGrom anyway, right? So I have a feeling we might not see him for a day or two. And my advice, and I think you guys would agree, sit out until you're completely healthy. He has not been as productive playing injured, just like most players are not productive playing injured. And if you try to play injured, you might have to sit out a longer period of time on the back end. So I don't think he's going to be in there, but I don't know how he's going to heal overnight. Will it swell up? Will it be fine? I don't know. But the good news is he didn't break any fingers. And, you know, I've been railing on this. Hit by pitches are way up, and it's only a matter of time a star player on the Cubs or White Sox or another team goes down for a long period of time. These guys can't control it with the sticky stuff. So why not try it without it? Because that has been a problem all season.
So tonight, Robert Stock, who the Cubs picked up in the offseason.
Longtime actor in the 70s, right?
That's Stock.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Stock will go to the post today, and I feel bad for the Mets. They got to face 101, man. 101 this guy throws. Here's my question. Like in the movie Major League, when Pedro Serrano's launching all those fastballs over the scoreboard, and like, how come nobody else picked up on this guy? If he throws 101, what's he doing getting waived?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. He hasn't had much of a chance at the Major League level. I don't know what he was doing getting waived. He's obviously got other issues. I'm looking at his walk totals in the Major League level. Not so bad. He's only played a couple games. I mean, he's only appeared in a few games. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. He appeared in 32 games in 2018 with San Diego. The numbers aren't horrendous. That year was his best year as a reliever. So we'll see if he can recapture something. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I would love to see Nico Horner and Matt Duffy in the lineup tonight. Like, my feeling is, if you're facing DeGrom, you have two choices. And David Ross doesn't really have this tonight because he doesn't have his
Let me see
roster.
If I can guess what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Either guys that grind at the plate and find a way to get on base and squeak in a run, or somebody runs into one.
Exactly. You want because I don't think you're going to get that sort of inning where you put it all together and then you get the big home run. Like, either run into a couple ones with a power hitting lineup, or like you just said, grind it out, maybe get them out of the game early. Maybe you string three hits together, but you're not going to do that with sluggers in the lineup, so to speak. So either go all slugger or all, you know, small guys or whatever. And I don't think he doesn't have the ability to do that. He's going to just have something normal in the middle there, and I'm just not sure they can get it done. However, I mean, if he's ever been due, the guy came out of his last start with a little injury issue with his arm. He did throw fine in the bullpen on the side, talking about DeGrom. I mean, it's a .56 ERA. Can it go down? I mean, it can't keep going down, right?
Yeah. I mean,
this is breaking news.
Wait a minute.
Sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook.
Hang on.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Right in the middle.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman J.R. Strauss with breaking news here on Cap and J-Hood. J.R.
Thank you, Jonathan. According to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Kawhi Leonard is expected to miss Game 5 against the Jazz tonight with a knee injury suffered in Game 4. His status for the rest of the series is in doubt as well.
We turn now to Jesse Rogers on this news on Kawhi Leonard. So what does this mean for the Clippers, Jesse?
Take the under. If Leonard's out, take the under.
I didn't ask for that analysis.
So good.
But you know what? Now I need to talk to talk show Jesse. Is he around?
About the NBA, this could be difficult.
No. This is right up your alley.
Oh, okay.
So here's the topic, right?
Yeah.
So all of this with Major League Baseball, with the NBA, other sports, this whole rest thing, right? This whole thing where you got to be able to rest because you got to get ready for the playoffs. All I know is that athletes like rhythm. They like to be able to play. Cap and I have talked about this several times now. You know what load management was for the Bulls? Ice on the knees as they played 30 minutes and the bench took over for the rest of the game because Jordan and the Bulls spotted him a 20-point lead. Kawhi Leonard is not available and could be out for the rest of the series. Well, so what about all this load management? Taking all this time off in the regular season,
right.
And now here you are in the playoffs and you can't go.
Yeah, Tibbs is the big bad guy. His guys get rhythm and they've said, we love playing. That's what we do. We play. Take that, Sue Red Fred.
Some people think it's coming to baseball, by the way. Like, guys taking 5 days off or some sort of load management once the medical people get their arms around
Cal Ripken just threw up in his mouth.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? Baseball players need 5 days off.
Like, the Clippers can't win the series now, right? Like, it's enough that the Clippers are too cool for school. Like, oh, we got 7 games. We'll just lose a few. We win a few. They're so talented that they don't realize that they don't have the sense of urgency. Now you don't have Kawhi. It's done now. Like, you think playoff P is going to come through
right.
and help them out on the road? That's not happening.
No.
So I'm going to click my DraftKings right now, Jess. And I'm going to lock in on the Jazz right now as I ask you a Sox question. How about that game yesterday? Go ahead.
Well, it started. I was there last night before the game. It started with Tyler Glasnow going off. That was interesting. We can get to that. But
yes.
Let me tell you something. This is Dallas Keuchel time. He said a while ago, he said last night that he pinpointed June for when he would really start his run. And he was pretty much on the money. He wasn't great in April, and he knew it. I mean, I love the pickups Rick Hahn has made over the last couple of years. I mean, Dallas Keuchel and Lance Lynn, I mean, who wouldn't want them on your team leading you into October? Loved what he did last night against the best team in the baseball record-wise. Just loved everything about that game on the mound. And that's the sort of game you're going to have to play in the playoffs. They're not going to rake every night. We know that. So you need a game like Keuchel. And then Leon Hendricks lets a couple guys on, shuts the door. Loved that game last night because it wasn't 9-8. It was a playoff-type game. The first two games have both been like that. It's been great.
All right, so we've got a good matchup tonight on both. So the White Sox, a day game. I'm going. After we get done with some photos around here, I'm going to the day game. I'll be in my seats, me, myself, and I. I'm going to have a cold one. I'm going to sit there and just enjoy baseball. And then tonight, sit on the couch and watch DeGrom and some guy named Robert Stack.
Cubs win.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't always write for ESPN. I don't always write for ESPN.com every night the Cubs play, but they're like, Wednesday, you're writing, win, lose, or draw. It's DeGrom versus Stock. So if the Cubs win, it's a storyline. If DeGrom wins and lowers his ERA, it's a storyline. I mean, when DeGrom pitches, it's like a national story every night, and Cubs have a chance to knock him off his pedestal.
Guy pitching tonight in the Untouchables, too?
Right, exactly.
I got you to say Robert Stack.
Yeah. Robert Stack.
Can I just ask
unsolved
you?
Unsolved mysteries.
Can I just ask real quick, Jesse, your overall? I know you're in the Zoom for Glasnow. I'm just wondering, just your overall thoughts on the transparency from Major League Baseball players on the sticky stuff. Because as I was telling Cap earlier, if this is the NFL, there's fines all across the board. I mean, Major League Baseball players openly spending time talking about this, going after the commissioner, almost unheard of.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to come after them for that because they're already coming after them for the sticky stuff. So I don't think they're going to let them vent. I think everybody would agree with this. To crack down midseason is a little weird. Now, I know it's already in the rule book, but you know it wasn't being, you know, it wasn't being assessed, the penalties and everything like that. So to do it midseason is a little strange. They know that pitchers get used to how they're doing. I have no sympathy for the pitchers other than that point, other than they're cracking down midseason when guys are used to doing it one way. But I don't have much sympathy. In terms of Glasnow and the injury thing, I really haven't heard a lot of people agree with him yet. It's only been 12 hours since he did it. Like, he's saying he had to grip the ball harder and it changed how he threw the ball and it affected his forearm, and that's why he got hurt, or one reason why he got hurt. I haven't heard a lot of people come to his defense. We'll see starting next week. Are pitchers starting to go down because they're gripping the ball differently and all that stuff? We'll find out. I mean, it is a fascinating thing to do this midseason. Starting Monday, are we going to see batting averages go up and pitchers get, you know, ERAs go up and all that stuff? We'll find out. But I'm not sure that it can be tied to injury as much as Glasnow is saying. But the evidence will be, you know, right in front of us starting next week.
Jesse, have a great day.
You too. Enjoy the games.
All
take
right.
care.
Stop by the Pride stores to see Jesse. He's out there all the time shopping on his daily routine around the city of Chicago. We've got baseball this afternoon here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, White Sox and Rays. What is it? 12:30 is our pregame show. I believe 12:30.
It is.
The pregame show with Connor McKnight. Tyler Glasnow made some incredibly interesting comments on the sticky situation baseball finds itself in. You don't want to miss those. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rock and roll, Cap J. Hood, ESPN 1000 in the first Midwest Bank studio.
Cap is rock and I am roll.
Or you are rock and I am roll.
No question, I'm roll. I'm trying to be rock like you. One day I'll be rock.
You're amazing.
But right now, I'm just good old roll.
Don't forget 9:35, shot or no shot. 9:50, I'm hearing there might be a David Letterman sighting.
Oh, is he coming in?
That's what I'm hearing.
Brought to you by Worldwide Pants. That's going to be fun to watch.
Coffee?
What?
Coffee?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
Anyway, Tyler Glasnow is a beast. Like, when the Pittsburgh Pirates decided we have to have Chris Archer, and we'll give you Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow, the brainiacs that run Tampa had to go, okay, I don't even have to think about, yeah, we'll do that. You try not to overreact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yes!
Yes.
I guess we could give that a shot. Hang up the phone and go, we just fleeced the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Archer never did anything in Pittsburgh, got hurt. I don't even know where he is now. And
back with Tampa.
Is he back with Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
So they got him back, but he's been injured. And Glasnow's a beast. He's their number one. That's how they could trade Blake Snell for a bunch of prospects. They don't get themselves caught in bad contracts like the Cubs did with Darvish. Oh, just take the money and you don't have to give us much back. They get good players back, actually.
Yeah, but you don't allow them to go through their natural ability because it's all built on analytics. I hate them.
I love Tampa. I love that they spend no money and they keep winning.
Moneyball and no championship.
They've been close. Two World Series.
You know, close ain't good enough. Again.
Agreed.
I'm glad you're speaking for their front office. I speak for the fan in that. I'd be pissed off if I'm in Tampa and I can't see a championship. And then when you're there, it's like, you know, the analytics, not in game 145, not game 5. The analytics
game
say
seven.
Game 7. The analytics says you need to be pulled now.
Don't disagree with you there.
That sucks.
Don't disagree with you
Thank
there.
Thank you, Hoodie. Somebody needs to be the voice for Dick Vitale.
But their
yeah.
But their process works, and they keep developing really, really good players. So they get Tyler Glass now. He's pitching here the other day. Now he gets the memo. You can't use, he uses sunscreen and said, can't use the sunscreen, the blah, 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 blah. Oh boy, my elbow hurts because he's changing the way he's throwing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tyler Glass now. Yesterday, after an MRI revealed a partial tear of his ulnar collateral ligament, which usually is a precursor to Tommy John. The full tear is Tommy John, but a lot of guys with the partial end up having to do it. It's a devastating injury for a really good team. Mm-hmm. And this is Tyler Glass now. Listen to this because it's really impactful.
I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt. No doubt, without a doubt. I think like it's ridiculous. I'm just gonna. I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that like it seems like this whole public perception of like, oh, it's just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is like, what is the injury? Like, what is the prevention of like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I've never been, I don't use sticky stuff to, I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. Like I felt completely different. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to change. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. My cue I used to use with Snyder was hold the ball like an egg, like nice and loose, be loose. That's out of the window. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand. So I'm taking it, and you have to think, I'm not a doctor. I know you guys probably know that. But I'm taking a fastball. I'm squeezing the ball twice as hard. So all of this is I'm recruiting all these muscles, and I'm taking my arm as hard as I can throwing the ball. So I'm going from like a flexed muscle to letting a ball go. And like I said, I was like, maybe it's not going to – I don't think it'll lead to any injuries. But waking up after that start, I was like, okay, this sucks. Something is weird here. And then that same feeling is persisting all week long. And then I go into my start yesterday, and that same feeling just – it pops or whatever the hell happened to my elbow. Like, I feel it. Something happens. And I'm sitting out there just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And the whole day yesterday, I'm sitting there trying to get a grip on a ball. And I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, this is all MLB's fault. Like, they got – thrown into the situation too. They're doing the best they possibly can to navigate around this. They're trying to make this fair for people. I understand that, but you can't, whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the off season. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80 something, 70, whatever innings. And then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt. Me throwing 100 and being 6'7" is why I got hurt, but that contributed. And so I'm just frustrated that like they don't understand how hard it is to pitch one, but to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane. I just don't, it's ridiculous. There has to be some give and take here. You can't just take away everything and not add something. Pitchers need to be able to have some sort of control or some sort of grip on the ball. And I just don't want things like this to happen to somebody else. I don't want a fastball to sail away and hit somebody in the face like it already has. So I just think, like, I understand you need to take an aggressive approach here, but, like, I just think people are going about it all wrong. And I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's all just shit because, now it's over. And I can't – and now I have to try and rehab to come back in the playoffs. So I'm clearly frustrated. It's just I think there needs to be a lot more – people need to figure this out. You can't just tell us to use nothing. It's crazy.
So, very impactful.
$25,000 fine in the NFL.
Probably right.
But here you could be able to clear out your thoughts, and it was just very well said, like bit by bit what he's gone through.
Exactly. And his wife probably looks at his phone and goes, You got a phone call coming in. It's Roger. It says Roger Goodell on it. If he was an NFL player.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I mean,
hello.
The long form thought.
Hi, Tyler. Roger Goodell. Just letting you know that's a $50,000 fine.
Seriously.
Keep speaking.
Keep talking.
All right. We'll react to that. That was Tyler Glass. Now, wow. Carlos Rodon also weighed in on the sticky subject, as did Zach Davies. You'll hear Carlos, and we'll talk about all of it next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Okay, so you just heard the Tyler Glasnow lengthy rant, which Jeff had to edit on the fly. Anyway, Tyler Glasnow is furious. His career is now in jeopardy. He's probably going to end up needing Tommy John. He says, you heard what he said, I'm going to have to rehab this and hope I can come back in the playoffs. And then, if that doesn't work, then all of a sudden you get Tommy John and you're gone another year. And you don't know how you come back. Look how many guys have gone through this town with injuries and never made it back. Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor. I mean, all these different guys. Look at Carlos Rodon.
Right.
Carlos Rodon had shoulder surgery, which is far trickier than an elbow. Now they've perfected the elbow craft where they said with 90% certainty, well, it's still 10%, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then he had the shoulder, and this year he's been nothing but filthy. Filthy. And in the middle of the season, you're telling all these guys, Carlos Rodon, hey, man, we need you to stop pitching the way you were pitching because you're using a little something so that you can get the ball out of your hand the way it feels best on your elbow and your shoulder. Glasnow said, that's why I got hurt. Here is Carlos Rodon yesterday.
So the way I look at it is, it's hard to see this when you're giving out 10-game suspensions for cheating, but you give the Astros no suspensions at all. So, I mean, if Rob Manfred can look himself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm doing the right thing, that's fine. You can't suspend the team that you actually knew was cheating during a playoff game. That's on you.
You know, somewhere Dusty Baker is going to be flying in and hitting Rodon with a Tupperware filled with plums. Just be careful now, Rodon. He's going to hit you from behind. I try to make things simple on the show, Jeff, as you well know, just because we get so deep into these conversations, these topics. Here's what I think is simple. Here's what's on my mind when I think about this. Cap, if you legislate sticky stuff that's going to be on baseballs to make it easier for a pitcher to have a grip, that also is a disadvantage for the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the fine line between the two? The hitter wants to be able to hit the baseball. He does not want to be in a disadvantage where, man, it's hard enough that these guys throw 100. But if there's some sticky stuff on it to make the ball break, I can't hit it. Okay, so along with that chain of thought, now that hurts baseball when I'm seeing 20 strikeouts a game
mm-hmm.
on either side, 10 for each team, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, 12 from freaking Taijuan Walker.
Right. So, but what's the answer, right? The pitchers want to be able to have the grip. The hitters can't hit it if it's got a grip on it. You know, the kind of grip that the pitchers want because of the break on the ball. So how do you fix this? Because ultimately, as Rizzo's told us, as hitters have told us, man, I can't hit this stuff because they've got sticky substance on the baseball in which I can't hit it. So how do you fix it? How do you fix it?
I think they're going about trying to fix it. But I do think the Glasnow sound that we played, Hoodie, he's got a point. Like, if they told all the teams across baseball based on their memo in spring training, listen, we're stopping. We're cracking down on this stuff. I completely understand it. But why did it take until that day at Guaranteed Rate, that afternoon game between the Cardinals and the White Sox? That was really the starting point of this when Gallegos had to take off his hat and Mike Schilt had his rant in the postgame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was That was the point where, okay, this thing is being taken seriously and we're starting now. Why? I don't understand. I don't think we've has anybody gotten a reasonable explanation from Major League Baseball as to why all of a sudden 7 weeks into the season that, okay, that's it. It's out of control, and we're actually going to crack down.
Okay, so you got that paper tiger of a commissioner not saying anything about it.
He's the worst. Okay, so here is what the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported. They talked to Andrew Miller and a number of these guys because Giovanni Gallegos was one of the poster childs. They collected the hat, they kicked Schilt out, and then his press conference really was a spur into all of this. So what they said was, MLB said its study left little doubt on the hold foreign substances have on the game. Quote, this is from the memo. The research concluded that foreign substances significantly increased the spin rate and movement of the baseball, providing pitchers who use these substances with an unfair competitive advantage over hitters and less action on the field. Now, Mike Maddux, who has a great history in the game as a player, as a coach, his brother's Greg. Yeah. 30 years ago, we had the steroid era, and some guys were trying to find an edge that way, and they found an edge. Unfortunately, now, some guys have done that this way. We've gone this other route to try and find an edge, and they don't know what it's going to be like moving forward, but I think it's a great enforcement to our game. Guys are going to have to learn how to pitch a little bit.
But not with a pearly white baseball. You want to have some kind of grip on the baseball. And it's a story I told a few days ago, Cap. If you have uniform baseballs that are rubbed the same way, then you just have to pitch with it. And I know it's not the sticky stuff. It's not the other advantages that pitchers have. But back in the day, all the balls – I don't know why I'm telling this story, because you've been in locker rooms longer than I have. The umpires rubbed up the baseballs.
Correct.
The old Delaware mud.
What, like 6 dozen?
Yeah, like plenty enough for the pitchers to say, this grip is good enough for me to use.
Correct.
But you give a pitcher or you give a batter an inch, and they take a mile. Because Major League Baseball did not crack down on this, now everyone's using sticky stuff. Batters are complaining. We see strikeouts up. It's a bad product more times than not when hitters are not able to put the ball in place. So you've got to be able to figure this out. How does this get better? You know, I mean, they're cracking down on it now, but if that means more injuries to pitchers, that's not the answer either. You want your best starting pitchers out because they don't have the right stick on the ball from the pitch? That sucks.
It sucks.
I don't want that to happen for my team.
No, and I think the problem is it's problematic because, as Glasnow stated, things like suntan lotion, you know, and the mix of, you know, rosin has been in the game for a long time. And what a lot of those same studies have shown is that sunscreen rosin doesn't do much, if at all, in terms of increasing spin rate. But it does help the pitcher grip it. The problem is this extreme sticky stuff that has now become prevalent in baseball, which is probably difficult for umpires to determine, oh, is this just a mixture of sunscreen and rosin? Or is it actually some, you know, something like spider tack that, you know, the way they're mixing all this stuff up, now your umpires need to become chemists where they can conclude, you know, before pregame, hey, what are we using today, fellas? So now they're outlawing all of it. The problem is guys like Glasnow have always used something to grip it, and now it looks like we may have an issue going
forward. Baseball Prospectus study, the increase in average spin rates of four-seam fastballs over the past 2 years. They graphed how it rose steadily since 2017 until this week. The increase in spin velocity rate went from increasing 0.17 in April to 0.25 in May to 0.06 in June since word of the crackdown spread.
Sunscreen and rosin. Dun, bum, dun, bum, dun, bum, dun, bum. Morning.
Dave on 294. What's up, man?
Yeah, I was listening to Glasnow, and he, you know, these guys are making it sound like MLB is just telling him now that they can't use a foreign substance on the ball. I mean, that's always been in there. They've chose to use it. You're not supposed to use it. That's like telling a guy, or it's like Sosa or somebody saying, well, they're cracking down all of a sudden on steroids, and, you know, I'm used to using them, so I might get hurt if they take them away. You're not supposed to cheat.
Dave, that's the way it is. That's a wonderful point, and we appreciate your call. I want to read you something, and we'll get to more of these calls. Okay. When Tony does something bad.
La Russa.
Yes.
TLR.
It gets talked about, correct?
Yeah.
And rightly so. When he didn't know the rule, whether that was an organizational failure, whatever. It can't happen. We talked about it.
Yeah.
I thought a lot, and rightly so. This is Tony. Now, you've had Glasnow. You can't spring this on us, Gerrit Cole. You can't spring it on us, Carlos Rodon. Let me tell you, after we take a quick break, what Tony La Russa said should make you feel really good as a White Sox fan.
This will be rich.
I want you to hear this.
All right.
We'll be right back. This hour brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. The VA loan is one of the best benefits of being in the military. Get the loan you deserve and apply online today at HeroLoan.com.
Here is David Kaplan.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Set the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Ball in the dirt. Grandal will pick it up. Throw to first. And the White Sox shut out the Tampa Bay Rays.
How about that? White Sox, get her done.
White Sox winner. The World Championship. Maybe.
Maybe.
I liked what I saw. That's a good Tampa team.
It is.
Outstanding performance.
Again, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Like, Tampa's a really good team, but all of a sudden they wake up and go, oh, God, our best pitcher's out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Yankees would never have traded Blake Snell because they'd be like, we don't need to save the money. We'll keep Blake Snell. Well, Tampa goes, eh, we're on a tight budget. We can get prospects back. We've got Glasnow to take his role. Oh, God, he's out?
All right.
They had the best record in baseball.
Sure.
Okay.
So now we turn over now to the best oldies and also dusties. Here's our section of the show called WTLR. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So we've heard a bunch of people come out. We played a bunch of tape this morning. We've heard a bunch of others opine that you can't do this to us on no warning. Oh, God, how am I going to adjust? This is your manager.
Uh-huh.
Second winningest manager in the history of the sport who has a team decimated by injury. Firmly in first place.
Correct.
Objections to MLB intensifying the enforcement of rules that prohibit applying foreign substances to baseballs in the middle of the season were voiced everywhere. But Tony La Russa suggested everyone should have seen it coming. We've had enough advance warning that the commissioner, I mean going back, he's made it really clear. And La Russa said his coaching staff, including pitching coach Ethan Katz, discussed foreign substances early in spring training. We can just speak here. It hasn't created any kind of distraction or adjustment. I can't speak for everybody, but MLB sets the rules. You play by the rules. I just think MLB is making a statement. I'm sure they're going to enforce it, and the uncertainty now is how exactly it gets enforced during the game. Okay, so hold on a second.
All right.
You have a bunch of people going, you can't do this to us. Your manager saying, we addressed it in spring training. We're not going to have any issues around here. Our guys knew this is coming. Be prepared. If I'm a White Sox fan, again, should he have known a rule back in Cincinnati? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Has he made mistakes? He's a human being. Yes, he has. That would make me feel really good that my team's prepared, not like, oh, God, what's going to happen now? Is our bullpen going to fall apart? Are our starters going to fall apart? Sounds to me like a guy who worked in the commissioner's office for a time might have had a little bit of advance notice. Get your guys ready.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So do you think the Sox are clean?
I don't think any full staff is clean. Like, I don't think, from what I've heard, Kyle Hendricks doesn't use this stuff because the way he pitches.
He didn't have to. Him and Davis don't have to.
Right. They're just,
they can't crack an egg with what they throw up there.
Correct. But they are more feel guys than spin rate guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Cubs bullpen's been otherworldly with guys, a lot of them who you go, who?
Mm-hmm.
Who's that guy? And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that 90% of the pitchers have said, 90% of us are using something to get grip. Glasnow, Gerrit Cole, all these guys. Sounds to me like the White Sox, and again, there may be other teams that did that. No one has said it like that. We were prepared. Our guys know there won't be an adjustment period for our guys. That would make me, as a White Sox fan, if you were, very comfortable.
I guess comfortable because he's got the conduit to the front office. He just got back into baseball after being out of it for a while. So he's got the tentacles. He's got the information, right? Probably right from the commissioner's office. knows exactly what's going on.
Right.
Just be prepared. Okay, so I'm glad he said that. Now, once this does crack down, Cap, I'm just very curious how Major League Baseball will be able to handle this. Are pitchers going to be using the baseballs from Dick's Sporting Goods?
Right.
Clean baseballs with no sheen on it? I don't think that's going to work.
You said that way because I went into Dick's Sporting Goods to buy something for my league that I play in.
Spider Tag.
They don't sell that there.
Oh, I see.
So, but I went in there to get something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing a lot in the infield. I had to get some protection. So I was in there, and I went over and grabbed a new baseball. Because you can buy all different levels of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The little league ball, the softball, whatever. And I grabbed one of those. They're slippery, man. They are really slippery, the MLB ball that they sell.
Oh, yes.
In the little box.
When you said protection, I'm thinking, I didn't know they had condoms at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Not condoms.
Okay. Just asking, well, you said protection.
Well, it's a similar area.
I mean, it's either that or depends. I didn't know which one you went there for.
Fortunately, I don't need that either.
Okay. just
but,
I asked the question. You said the protection. So the baseball you picked up had a little something
called a
on.
Cup.
Yes. Oh, you got
even
that
though too? Rizzo came on the air last year and said, I don't wear one. Man. Freaking ground balls at you. I ain't as good as you, Rizzo. I'm going to protect myself.
So you're taking care of the fruits and berries down there. Making
correct.
Sure, yeah. But yes. You're sure-handed, right?
I feel like I'm okay.
Yeah.
But you can get a ball that hits a little stone and bounce up. Oh, God!
I thought she was the handy little glove man like Mickey Morandini.
I have plans after the games.
Oh, I understand. I just want to make sure. Like,
I can't be busy with you tonight.
No, not going to happen.
What did you do? I hurt myself. Ground ball to second. Oh, God!
Right.
Right testicle.
I'm not going to be that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's the... Okay, so you want to make sure that you're protected. I understand.
Correct.
Okay.
But that led me to when you mentioned Dick's Sporting Goods, I went in there,
mm-hmm.
and I grabbed one of the baseballs, and I'm like, these things really are slippery.
Brother... Major League Baseball has got to come to some consensus. Who said it? Was it Mellor? Somebody, maybe JR? Someone said it. Like, hey, man, Major League Baseball could be able to lock in here and get some value from this. Find something that all pitchers can be able to work on, and that'll be the stuff they would use.
Correct. This is approved, and you can use it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
all right. An all-time performance last night, but one of the NBA's all-time greats, plus a couple of injuries.
My balls!
We will...
Oh, God!
Dick's Sporting Goods, the name fits. Be back in 2 minutes.